Gedevach. So I'll tell you my say. You know, sometimes we say stories of very famous tzaddikim, and sometimes when you have a famous tzaddik, so what's overlooked sometimes is the tzaddik's parents, or the tzaddik's children, or the tzaddik's siblings. They're just like sort of overshadowed by the tzaddik himself. So I'll tell you ma'isa about a father of a tzaddik, a very well-known tzaddik, the Bnei Yisachar, Tzvi Lamelech of Dinov, the Bnei Yisachar. So the Bnei Yisachar, this is a ma'isa about Bnei Yisachar's father. Not such a well-known person, but from this story you can see that this was a very, very special Jew. And it was not a coincidence that he had a son like a Bnei Yisachar. So the ma'isa goes like this. Bnei Yisachar's father was a melamed. He was hired out, not a very wealthy person, obviously. He was hired out by different families to basically live in their homes for extended periods of time and to tutor their young children. Once children became older those days, so you would hire, again, a melamed for your young kids. Once they became a certain age, let's say bar mitzvah age and things like that, either they would go to like a bigger city to learn in a yeshiva, or they would go to work. But for little kids, you would hire a melamed to teach them. So the Bnei Yisachar's father was such a person. He was hired by different places, different people, to be a melamed. Now, the way it worked was, is that if you were hired as a melamed, then again, you would be, you know, board and room would be provided by your employer, and they would give you, you know, some income as well, and you would stay with them for months on end, and then after, you know, by Pesach time or Tishrei time, by Bein Hazmanim, you would then travel home with the profit that you made and support your family. And so this is what happened with Bnei Yisachar's father. He was hired by a particular Yid who was an owner of a kretschmen, of an inn, of a hotel, an inn that people would go to stop by when they're traveling, with hotel and a place to sleep and a place to eat. Now this particular person that was the employer that was hiring the Bnei Yisachar's father was a Yid, somewhat well-to-do. He had this business of a kretschmen, of an inn, but maybe not the biggest tzaddik in the world, let's put it that way. Or the way the Belzerov would call him, you know, it doesn't wear a bina tam tefillin, you know. So the mice is like this. The Bnei Yisachar's father, again, was staying in this inn together with the employer. The inn was part of this person's estate, and that's where the Bnei Yisachar's father lived. Now, one particular night, the Bnei Yisachar's father is sitting there. We'll call him the Melamed for the purposes of the story. So the Melamed is sitting there. And all of a sudden, by the hotel door, by the inn's door, there's a bang on the door. It's the middle of the winter. So the owner of the establishment, the employer, opens the door. And he sees a bunch of poor Yidden standing by the door, freezing cold like this. And he asks them, "What do you want?" And they say, "We want a place to stay. We're mamash freezing. It's bitter cold. We have nowhere to go. We need a place to stay." So they say, he says to them, "Listen, you want to stay? It costs money. So you have to pay... pay the rent for the night, whatever the amount is to rent a room." They say, "We don't have any money." So he says, "Okay, shalom aleichem." He closes the door and then finished. Bye bye. Meanwhile, the melamed is looking at these. He's like, "Oh, such a thing. I know my boss is a rough type of guy, but such a narachmanis. These are yidden that are stuck out in the cold all night, dead of the winter, in the middle of Poland and so on, and in Hungary. You're gonna mamish leave him like this?" So he goes over to his employer and he says, "Listen, you know, why don't we let them in?" So he's like, "They don't have any money to pay." So he says, "You know what? So I'll pay for it." And he says, the employer says to the mom, "You don't have any money. What do you mean you're going to pay?" He said, "You put on my tab. I'll owe you the money. It's fine." So okay, so because the melamed figures, like, how much could it be already? So he opens the door. He allows these yidden in, and they stay the night. Meanwhile, they stay the next night. And they end up staying for like a full week in the hotel. So at the end of the day, the employer keeps on reminding the melamed that, by the way, like, this is on your tab. You know, you should know. Like, I'm not, you know, they're not staying for free. This is on your cheshbon. It's okay, fine. It's on my cheshbon. Now the week passes by. These people leave, and you know, weeks go by, months go by, and you know, the melamed is continuing to teach the children and so on. Comes close to Pesach. Now it's time for the melamed to go back home to see his family. He hasn't seen them in months. So he goes to his employer. Now it's time to get paid. So he had room and board, but it's also the salary that he was earning. So the Baal Bas says to him, he says, "Listen, I owe you 43 ruble. That's the amount of money that you're owed." So, but the problem is that these guys that stayed, if you remember months ago, those people that stayed in the hotel for a week, their cheshbon adds up to 46 ruble. So instead of me paying you, you actually owe me 3 ruble. 3 ruble, all of this, I spend my whole winter teaching your kids and I end up having to pay you money. So that's the deal. You said it was on you. Okay, so what is he supposed to do? So he takes that 3 ruble, pays and finished. So he's on his way home. Not only does he not have 43 ruble, he's down 3 ruble. So he's on his way home. What is he supposed to do? By the time he gets back to the city that he lived in with his family, he's so embarrassed. What am I going to do to face my family? I don't have any money. I spent all these months trying to make a living. I have nothing. And I even have less money than before. So he just goes to the Beis Medrash. My wife says, I can't, you know. He goes to the Beis Medrash and he's sitting and learning. Now, meanwhile, his family expects him to be home already. And his son, the future Bnei Sascher, went to shul to learn also, to daf mincha, whatever it is. And lo and behold, he sees his father. He's all excited, tati. And he obviously the father's excited to see his son. And the father says, why don't we come home? Mommy's waiting for you. You just guys. He says, yeah, okay, so let's go home. You know, he obviously doesn't tell his son what the whole story is. On his way home, the streets that they were walking in were very narrow streets in the little shtetl over there. And as they're walking towards their house, they hear behind them like a horse and wagon with a coachman, you know, coming towards them. So they move to the side to allow the wagon to go ahead. Now, as the wagon goes forward, so the coachman, the one that's driving the wagon, turns his head out the window to look at them. And as he looks at the father, he takes out of his pocket a big bag of something and just throws it. Now, this is very, very odd. So the father, the Malamed starts to the coachman, like, you dropped your package. You know, meanwhile, the coachman is already far ahead. So he goes over to see this package, what's going on in this package. And he looks at it. There's no demarcation. There's no marks. It doesn't say any name. It's just like a bag. And he opens it up. And how much is it? It's 46 ruble. It's 46 ruble. It's the 3 ruble that he paid, you know, the Malamed, and the 43 that he was owed for teaching the children throughout the year. 46 ruble exactly. So it goes like this. It's Mamasha Moifis, Elio Novi. Okay? Now this is all before Pesach, right? So he goes to his son, he says, you know, Zisula Tzimelech, don't tell your mother about this. Okay, it's just between us. Okay. So he goes home. So he gives his wife the money, 46 ruble. Okay, it's Gevaldik. He made a nice profit for the family. Comes the night of Pesach. Again, this was before Pesach. Comes the night of Pesach, and it's by the Seder. And it's time for Kais Shel Yo, to pour the Kais Shel Yo, Shoei Chamas Chalagayim, to open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi. So, as the minig is, the kids went to the door to open the door. So the Bnei Sasser, again, the boy goes to open the door. And he's going, I'm going to open the door for Eliyahu. He opens the door, and he turns immediately to his father, and he says, the coachman's here. And the father gets very nervous, and the father runs to the door. Lo and behold, the coachman that was there also ran away. He's gone again. And the father turns to the Bnei Sasser, he says, listen, mein kind, listen, my son. This is a ma'isa that took place between me and you, the we saw in Avi. Don't tell anyone this story until the last day of your life. That's what he said. And Kachav, the Bnei Sasser held this story, you know, close to the chest until Mamish, the last day of his life. That by his deathbed, he said over this ma'isa of who his father was. His father was someone that was zeicha to see Eliyahu HaNavi, to have such a ma'isa like this because of his mesiras nefesh and his care for another yid. You never know. Like, he doesn't go down in history as one of the great tzaddikim of the generation. He's known as the father of Bnei Sasser. But such a thing, even Jews that are sometimes overlooked and their claim is just their children or their parents or their siblings or their in-laws, whatever the case may be, every yid has a story. Every yid has a chashuva ma'isa. So Hashem should bless us that we should be zeicha to also see Eliyahu in our lives and always remember the greatness and the significance of our actions. We should be zeicha to only see shefa bracha natzlacha mamish in a week full of yeshuas and nechamas and hashpayis ad b'li dai v'yiskot tzedek.